pray. Lord God, hear our prayers. Help us to hear your word. Amen. In two of my previous chapels, I spoke about the subject of being indispensable. As Christians, we have learned that the only truly indispensable human being is Jesus Christ. As for us, of ourselves, we are dispensable. If we would suddenly vanish from the earth, the world would still go on. On the other hand, if Jesus would cease to exist, then everything, the entire universe, would cease to exist. There would be neither a reason nor a power to continue sustaining the universe. If Jesus had not become man, had not offered himself as the payment for our sins, what reason would God have to allow the world to continue? Why would he do it? So that all people would be born in sin, spend their lives blaspheming him, and continually violating his holy will? Finally, in the end, they would all go to eternal fire. But from the beginning, God determined to provide salvation for everybody. And he carried out his purpose by sending his Son into the world as a man, by taking all of our sins and laying them on him, and by punishing him for what we have done. And then he raised him from the dead. So it is that our sins are forgiven, and we are declared to be righteous in God's sight. Now, there is a reason to sustain the world. The reason? So that this message of salvation can get around, that it might reach the ears of all the elect, and they might be saved. Of course, of ourselves, as I said, we are dispensable. But now, in Christ, we have become indispensable. Just because Christ is indispensable, so are those who belong to Christ. Christ in us, that's what makes us indispensable. Now, the idea that we are indispensable implies that there's a reason for us to be here, that God has a use for us here on earth, a purpose. Being indispensable then means that God needs us to fulfill that purpose. Now, the fourfold cry of humanity has always been, "Who am I? How did I get here? Why am I here? Where am I going?" The Christian answers, "I'm a child of God. God created me. He put me here. He redeemed me. He sanctified me. I'm here to serve him by fulfilling his purpose in my life. And when I've done all that I'm supposed to do, then he will take me to heaven." So what is that purpose then that God has for you? Your purpose for being here? I don't know. I don't even know what my purpose is. Now, that must be rather disappointing to have a chapel speaker come up here and say that you're here on earth to fulfill God's purpose and then tell you that he doesn't know what that purpose is. Well, what I mean by that is I don't know your unique purpose for being here. The single purpose that belongs to you and you alone, that makes you indispensable. I know the purpose for which all of God's children are here on earth. How will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how will they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how will they hear without someone preaching? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The overriding purpose for you being here, for all the children of God being here, is the purpose of God Himself. And we saw His purpose in sending His Son into the world. There are numerous passages that speak of God's purpose. And together they're saying His purpose in this world is salvation through Jesus Christ. God Himself came down to this world to accomplish this purpose. There can be nothing more important than that. And now He makes His purpose our purpose. He brought salvation into the world, and now He wants us to bring salvation to the world. He brought Jesus into the world, and now He wants us to bring Jesus to the world. It is this purpose that makes the family of God indispensable. You were delivered from the realm of darkness into the kingdom of light. Because at some time a child of God brought Jesus to you through word and sacrament. That child of God was likewise delivered from darkness because some other child of God proclaimed forgiveness to him or her. So, that's the way it has gone throughout history. One person after another, one generation after another, fulfilling the purpose for which God placed them here on earth, making disciples, baptizing, teaching, over and over, fulfilling the purpose of God until one day, Jesus was brought to you. Now you join in that purpose. It is your purpose on earth to share in the onward march of the gospel. This by itself makes us indispensable. It's the way God does it. In the midst of this gospel proclamation, each one of you has a unique purpose, purposes maybe, for being on earth. And that I don't know. I don't know what your unique purpose or my unique purpose is. And it doesn't matter. We don't need to know. It's enough for us to know that God has a reason for us being here, or we wouldn't be here. So it's enough for you simply to serve the Lord, serve Him by living your life the way He wants you to do, to live it. Letting His word be the lamp unto your feet and the light unto your path. And when you trip and fall along the way, rise up again and honor God by admitting that you were wrong and that He was right. And then in a piece of forgiveness, you can continue on along the pathway of the Lord. And as you do this, the result is going to be that God's purpose for you will be fulfilled, even if you don't know what that purpose is. Does the hammer know the purpose of the carpenter? No. But the hammer does what the carpenter wants it to do. So serve the Lord in gladness, and He will do the rest. We'll turn to hymn number 417, verses 6 and 7.